The National Broadcasting Company presents transcribed the American Forum of the Air, founded 21 years ago by Theodore Granick and dedicated to the full and public discussion of all sides of all issues, coming to you from Washington, D.C. Now, here is your moderator, Theodore Granick.
Congressional hearings will soon be held to determine whether federal rent control should continue or end on June 30th. It is still in effect in most of our major cities and covers the homes of about 11 million families, although some states and cities have ended controls locally. Those in favor of its continuation point out that the housing shortage is still acute and that rent increases, which would follow the ending of federal rent control, would cause widespread hardship and suffering. Opponents, however, say that there is no justification for continuing this wartime control 5 years after the war is ended, that it is no longer a national problem and should be handled locally in communities where it may be necessary. Now it is up to you through your representatives in Congress to make the decision. And to help you do so, the American Forum of the Air has invited Tyee Woods, the housing expediter, to discuss the issues involved with Senator Harry P. Kane of Washington State, who has led the fight to terminate Mr. Woods' agency. Now, Senator Kane, why do you want to lift federal rent control?
For Ted Granick, in my considered opinion at least, there is no national emergency any longer justifying in America the continuance of federal rent controls. Secondly, considerable and very sound benefits have accrued and resulted in most American cities and in those states which have been decontrolled since your Congress passed the Rent and Housing Act on the date of April 1st, 1949. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, there is no justifiable reason of any kind why one segment of our American society should have imposed upon it restraints and regulations which are not imposed or considered proper for the rest of the portions of this great country.
Mr. Woods?
Mr. Granick? I differ from the Senator. I believe that rent control is a national issue. Rent control is still in effect in over 1,000 of our cities of over 5,000 population. It's in effect in 73 out of our 90 cities of over 100,000 population. It's in effect for one reason and one reason only, and that's because there is a shortage of housing. And that, in my opinion, is the emergency as far as why we should hold down one segment of the industry when others are free. I think the reason we have to hold down housing, and I say hold down in quotes because we're not holding them down, is because housing, unlike other things, cannot be substituted for if there happens to be a shortage. Within the case of clothing, in the case of food, if something is short, you can substitute. If you can't afford steak, you can eat neck bones. And if you can't afford a new suit, you can make the old one do. But where housing is short, there is no substitute. You've got to pay what the traffic will bear.
Senator Kane?
Mr. Woods, as you know, sir, I hold you in very high regard as a personal friend, and I watch your conduct rather closely. I have noticed recently that you have been making such observations as you have just offered to the people in front of us all over the country, and I refer particularly at the minute to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, we want to talk about the substance of this case against what the expediter wants you to believe because of his very human and natural desire to perpetuate in this country an agency born of the suffering and the despair of the war, the Office of the Housing Expediter. And let me ask him a question against what he himself has proclaimed to the good citizens recently in Atlanta. Mr. Woods in Atlanta recently said that he was opposed to a decontrol of federal rents and predicted an extension for another year because wholesale decontrol at this time would result in a serious strain on the nation's economy. And the question I seek to ask him is this. Why should a strain be imposed upon our economy throughout the nation when no such strain has been imposed upon Arizona, Utah, Texas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and a very large portion of the state of Florida, which states have been decontrolled without chaos and catastrophe in recent months gone by.
Can I answer that?
Yes, I certainly do. Senator, some of those states which you mentioned, which happen to be the states which have been decontrolled, some of them by state action, some of them through local option. I feel that certainly in the case of Texas,
yes,
there has been a strain on the economy.
Please tell the audience what it is.
Why do I say that? Because in the state of Texas, it happens that our agency asked the Bureau of Labor Statistics to make a survey of certain cities which had been decontrolled. One of these cities was Dallas. We asked the Bureau of Labor Statistics to find out for us what happens upon decontrol, how widespread are rent increases, and what is the burden on tenants. In the case of Dallas, we found that of the units which were free to rise, a great majority of the people in the city had very substantial rent increases.
What were they?
Let me refer to one segment of them, which I think is the heart of my worry about this. In Dallas, 71% of the people who had incomes of less than $30 per month had rent increases averaging over 47%. Now, why do I pick out that one group? I pick that group out because that is the group that has the least cushion, that the removal of rent controls, in my opinion, prematurely, would cause the most suffering. Groups in that category have a pretty fixed amount that they pay for food, for clothing, and for shelter. And if you upset one of those segments, and I think an average 47% rent increase is upsetting it, you certainly throw the other two way out of balance.
Senator Kane.
Well, if Mr. Woods would permit me to respond, I'd like to say, number one, that there is no man or woman in this audience tonight or who listens who has heard of any considerable trouble resulting throughout the sovereign state of Texas as a result of decontrol. For the most part, the only man in the United States, generally speaking, that I know anything about that worries about what's happening down in the state of Texas, which was authorized by legislation passed by your last session of the Congress, is the housing expediter, Mr. Tige Woods. Now, one reason I wish that he would refer specifically to the statistics as a result of the survey of the Bureau of Labor Statistics is that Mr. Woods, the housing expediter, asks for them. And all he's done, and I consider it to be a very natural business by a man who seeks to have this law continued, is to only give you an infinitesimal part of what the Bureau of Labor Statistics provided at his directive and request.
I think Mr. Woods wants to answer
this. I think for the first time, with your permission, permit me just to give him the figures, which he's as well aware of as I am, but unfortunately I must give them to this audience and anywhere else. Of those units which were decontrolled in the city of Dallas, that were permitted to rise, they rose on a percentage average of 36.1%. Quite a considerable increase. I'm the first to admit it. 59% of the units in the city of Dallas rose after decontrol. But the other remaining 59, that would be 41%, didn't go up as much as a single penny. And the general overall increase, and that's the only way you can consider a consumer product, the increase of rents in the city of Dallas, Texas, which is the most extravagant case that Tige Woods can point out to you in the United States, rose on the average 16.7, which against the average cost of living index and increase in recent years is practically nothing and ought to be applauded in terms of renovation rather than to be criticized.
I talk 36%, you talk 16%. I think the audience is entitled to know we both are apparently referring to the same document.
Exactly.
I think that they're entitled to an explanation of why I worry about the 36% Why, you don't worry about the 16%.
Well, you hadn't mentioned the 36% until I did refer to it.
Well, I've heard it so often, I feel that
can we get away from percentages?
No.
Get it down to the layman's language?
Yes, I want to explain the difference. Here is an agency of the government that has made a survey. You take 16%, taking the overall percentage increase of rent in a city. We wanted to know what happened as a result of decontrol. If a surveyor went into a four-apartment building on a certain day, one apartment had been raised 100%. Three apartments had no raise because they were under lease and couldn't be raised, or because they had already been decontrolled and the landlord was getting all the traffic would bear, there would be one increase of 100% and three of zero. If you average that out, that's a 25% rent increase for that building. That's small consolation to the person who took 100% rent increase. There's your 16%. Now you're 36%. We aren't trying to... we wanted to know what happens when there is decontrol. We asked the Bureau of Labor Statistics to find out for us what happens to units free to rise.
Exactly.
Of the units free to rise, the figures show that Dallas increases 59% of them, went up 36%.
Senator, you have a question?
Well, permit me again, if I can, back to this statement that Mr. Woods made in presumably a public speech in Atlanta. Mr. Woods said that sudden decontrol could cause, quote, very chaotic conditions, and this is very important. I want, Mr. Woods, for your benefit and that of the Congress of the United States that is going to make this decision, not Mr. Woods, to know what he means by way of properly defining chaos. Now, I draw your attention, ladies and gentlemen, to the fact again that Arizona, Utah, Texas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Florida have been decontrolled in whole or in part. All of them in whole except Florida, mostly in part. On May 25th, Alabama, by virtue of its own legislature, has decided the time has come to get rid of this octopus. Virginia will be decontrolled on June 10th. Does that imply that they anticipate chaos or that they've had chaos? And if they haven't had chaos in five typical sovereign American states, let Mr. Woods tell us why he anticipates chaos in states yet to be decontrolled.
Senator, you want me to define chaos. I think I can give a pretty good definition of it what it means in this connection. But you talk about Utah and Arizona and Alabama. I think there are a lot of other states. As a matter of fact, there are 41 states who have been considering this problem.
Yes.
And they haven't decided that the time has come for decontrol. But to get back to chaos.
You know, one of the reasons, Tiger, is that you, like you did in Florida, because I was there checking up on you, and like you did down in the state of Texas, where you bothered to go to the governor to try to convince the governor of the sovereign state of Texas that a law passed by the legislature of that Texas was, that state was unconstitutional. You and your agents are lobbying around this country 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in an effort to maintain your own job.
Now, wait a minute. Well, just a minute. As far as Florida is concerned, I can't recall the incident, but if I was down in Florida when it was around the time of talking of decontrol, my mind wasn't on rent control. But let's get back to
that. Well, that was what I thought on the basis of what you said, but nonetheless, you encouraged not a decontrol for Dade County, which includes Miami, which is the largest population center in the state of Florida, and thank goodness that legislature had strength enough and manhood enough to stand up and decontrol it, and you've never heard of any chaos.
Senator,
since.
You know Dade County was the worst headache we ever had under rent control.
Indeed it was.
I didn't discourage or encourage remainder of control, but I want to answer you on Texas.
Thank you.
I went to Texas. That's true. I went directly to see the governor.
Yes.
But I went to see him about a particular problem. The first decontrol law that was passed by the Texas legislature,
mm-hmm.
had a provision in it which we in the federal government felt was contrary to the act. It provided that after the state went out, each city could, on its own option,
come back in under federal rent control. We felt that was wrong. We felt if the state of Texas wanted to decontrol, then they should follow the act and there wouldn't be any confusion.
I think that after my visit, certainly the law was corrected.
Yep.
I did not mention to the governor whether I was interested in Texas one way or the other. That was his decision.
Certainly,
but I did want the act that they passed to be free from confusion.
Well, certainly, I wouldn't want to quibble, and I would certainly desire to be as charitable as I obviously could be. But I am more concerned, as are Americans, with this word chaos.
Well, Senator, that's...
Because,
I haven't defined it yet.
No, it takes quite some time, and I have to keep coming back to it. But in connection with chaos, please define this statement that you made in a public presentation in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Imagine that. A federal agent who has no responsibility whatsoever until he is called as a witness before the Congress to testify on a piece of legislation. Down in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Advising them as to what their rights are and what they ought to do in the future. I think it is a monstrous thing that's going on, and a very nice fellow is actually doing it. But when he was down there, he used this phrase, and I only quote him because I seek not to be unfair. Mr. Woods said that rents rose as much as 150% in some cities following decontrol. Now, Mr. Woods asked for a survey by the BLS of seven cities. The highest rate increase on the average is 16.7. Where he got his 150% in some American cities, I don't know, but it's all mixed up with chaos.
Well, let's see if he has an answer to that.
Let us get the answer.
Chaos, Senator, could be as nasty a thing as the atomic bomb.
If we know what it is.
The chaos that I'm talking about is the heartache of a family with a limited income, who suddenly is faced with a 25, a 45, a 50% increase in rent. My idea of chaos is the head of that family taking out a piece of paper and a pencil and figuring out how much less milk the children are going to have to drink, how much less food, how much less clothing. Chaos may be relative. But to me and to those families, it's a pretty chaotic condition.
It's not
we're out of chaos if I don't get to the questions of the audience.
Please,
go
no.
ahead, sir.
Well, I note that Senator King's reaction to...
You have a question, please.
Yes, I do.
Will you please state your question?
Senator King apparently is not interested in low-income people, but I'll ask this question anyway.
Please do.
Doesn't your campaign to raise lumber prices make it difficult, if not impossible, for families of low income to build homes and thereby end the need for rent control?
Mr. Goodman of the CIO, that is a very interesting question. I know you and you know me. Now, I'm just as much interested in the rights of low income people as you are, and therefore I wouldn't begin to ask any question of yours unrelated to 30 minutes of a consideration about rent control. Mr. Goodman, you ask me that question in terms of the low-income people in any fashion you want, and I'll be glad to answer.
Are you willing to let lumber prices fall to their natural level so that low-income families
Mr.
can
Granick,
build their
I have,
homes?
Mr. Woods has his rights on this program, too, to have an unrelated question by Mr. Goodman of the CIO posed to us against a restriction of 30 minutes on a rent control subject. I think somebody's made a serious mistake, sir, and let him ask a rent control question, and we'll answer that.
You have one relating to rent control?
Yes, I'd like to ask him a rent control question. Senator Kane, haven't you fought rent control ever since it existed, ever since you've been in the Senate?
Not ever since it has existed, because in my opinion, in the early days of the war, you could justify rent control on the basis of an existing emergency. As an individual senator, in answer to Mr. Goodman's question, I came to the Senate in 1946, since which time I have been vehemently in opposition to the continuance of rent control because I thought to do away with an unhealthy and an unnatural restriction and an imposition on the rights of American citizens numbering roughly 8 million in the field of property owners and managers would be a great service to the average American throughout this land.
You want to comment on it, Mr. Woods? We take another question.
Another
question. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
Mr. Woods, what would happen in the large cities if rent controls were lifted immediately?
Well, I'm going to be cagey about that because...
Oh,
Senator,
please don't.
Senator might want me to define chaos again, but let me...
Well, you're going to have to before there is a new law. Now, you're going to have to sell this chaos to the Congress.
Let me give you one example of what I have some pretty good evidence I think might happen. The city of Chicago is one of our big cities, one of our biggest. It's under rent control. The city of Chicago, twice, not once, but twice, in all good faith and in all seriousness, went to the federal courts to force me to grant a rent increase. In their brief, prepared by their attorneys, they made this statement. We feel we are entitled to an increase of 71% in rents. However, if the court will grant us 45%, we'll take the rest when controls are removed. I think that's one indication of what might happen if controls are removed from some of our big cities.
Senator Kane is bubbling with an answer. Go ahead, Senator.
That is a conclusion Mr. Woods has just given you based purely on a mental assumption he has made in some sort of a vacuum. May I say to the madam that with reference to what the facts are, they appear to be as follows. There are big metropolitan cities. They don't all exist in the East. There are large cities. In Arizona, Utah, Texas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Florida. You've been to Miami. You've been to Phoenix, and you've been to Tucson. You've been to Spokane, Washington. You've been to Salt Lake City, Omaha, and Lincoln, Nebraska. You've been to Dallas, Houston, El Paso, in Texas. You've been to Milwaukee. You've been to Jacksonville. You've been to Oklahoma City, Savannah, Georgia, Charleston, South Carolina, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Tennessee, Norfolk, Virginia. And there has been chaos. In not a single instance, and there has been no single request from any such large city after decontrol to the Congress of the United States to reimpose upon them restraints which in their own wisdom they thought was good for all people to get rid of. And if what has been so good in these metropolitan cities to which I've addressed myself, by what fantastic conclusion can
Senator
Mr. Tigwood say the same good results won't happen in other American cities?
Senator, most of the cities you've named, there's no use coming to Congress. They can't come back in, even if they do find exorbitant rent increases.
Tell them why.
But because, under the present act, a city that exercises local option decontrol, or a city that is forced out, whether it wants it or not, by state action, can't come in. And I happen to know, Senator, that in some of those states you mentioned, if you want to be specific, Omaha, Nebraska, and Houston, Texas, would like to come back.
You're
if
taking
they
this
could.
Down on a record, I trust.
Yes, it's being recorded.
And you know, that's a very interesting thing, an observation just made by Mr. Woods. How can he have any time as the housing expediter to concern himself with what's happening in cities over which, by his own admission, he has no control by legislative fiat? And yet he stands up here and says that what Omaha, Nebraska had a right to do. Certain citizens in Omaha want to change their mind, which is none of his concern. Now, if we understood the laws of this land, which say that no federal agent shall lobby anywhere throughout this country in support of or against legislation which is being considered by the Congress of the United States without being disrespectful to Mr. Tige Woods, the housing expediter, I would call for his resignation. In fact, as I have suggested it a number of times in the past, because it doesn't happen to be his concern, but that of your voice, the Congress of the United States, as to whether or not rent controls are going to be continued
Senator,
following June 30th, 1950.
Do I gather from your statement that you don't think that the American public and the Congress wants to know what has happened as a result of decontrol?
Oh, Mr.
So they
Wood.
Can make up their mind?
Oh, no.
Who is better equipped to tell them than I am? That's my business, my job.
That's right. Let's be very serious about this for a minute. When the bill, which was recently introduced in the Senate by Scott Lucas of Illinois, the majority leader, and by Francis Myers of Pennsylvania, the majority whip, is considered by the Banking and Currency Committee, and you are called as a witness, sir, you are expected to tell the truth and all the truth. But on the basis of what you have said tonight, in terms of chaos, if you please, trying to indicate to these good Americans that chaos is going to result from decontrolling rents in the future when no such chaos has resulted in the past, I think the Congress of the United States is going to take a very dim view of your proposition.
Gentlemen, I take another question. Go ahead, madam, please.
Couldn't a compromise measure be passed so that landlords might receive increases in rent amounting to the actual increased cost of operating their buildings based on the cost indexes of the Bureau of Labor Statistics?
You want to take that?
If you care to have me, Mr. Brannick, try to answer that, I would say to the lady who asked the question that if the Congress of the United States in its wisdom saw fit to extend controls beyond June 30th, 1950 of this year, it should automatically approve some such program as the proposed administration Brannan plan, which would just guarantee an annual income to every property owner in America and let it go at that.
I'd like to add to that, Senator. In answer to the lady, I think that under the present rent control regulation, we as an agency recognize that the cost of rendering the business of furnishing shelter has gone up. And we are every day compensating landlords for the increased cost of doing business. You bring in the point of relating landlords' increases to the increase in the index, the Bureau of Labor Statistics index. If such a formula is to be adopted, I believe that is the proper job for Congress.
Time for summary. Senator Kane, your summary, please.
Mr. Brannick, I am but one of a good number of men and women in both the House and the Congress who are absolutely satisfied the time has come, on the basis of facts and logic, reason and common sense, to get away from federalized rent controls. One thing we are certain of is that as we decontrol American states and communities, locked up resources in terms of rental units not now available in the thousands will come back to the rental market. We think there will be a greatly accelerated home construction program, which certainly ought to be of mutual interest to Mr. Leo Goodman of the CIO, as well as myself. There will be constructed and achieved a better tenant-owner relationship. And quite importantly, too, there will be a return of competitive competition, for this is a competitive life, whether we want to recognize it or not, and we can't change it very much by legislative fiat. There will be a return of competitive conditions in the rental market to compel owners to redecorate and remodel, a stimulus to local business, which means better American communities everywhere.
Thank you, Senator Kane. Your summary, Mr. Expedite.
I believe that federal rent control should be extended because there is a housing shortage. That shortage is a result of the war. And while we have that shortage, it's necessary to protect tenants against unwarranted and exorbitant rent increases and protect them from illegal evictions. In the case of housing, you have no choice of substitutes, as you do in the case of food or clothing. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the 11 million families, the 30 to 35 million people in those families living under the protection of rent control. And I'm particularly concerned about the 25% of the people in this country who have incomes of less than $2,000 a year, because it's these low-income families who suffer most.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You've been listening to a discussion, should federal rent control be continued? Our speakers have been Senator Harry P. Kane of Washington State and Tyee Woods, the housing expediter. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
For reprints of this discussion, send 10 cents to Ramsdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. That's Ramsdell Incorporated, R-A-N-S-D-E-L-L, Ramsdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. Join us again next week at this same time for a discussion of the question, what should American farm policy be? Based on an article in the forthcoming April issue of Reader's Digest. Our speakers at that time will be Charles F. Brannan, the Secretary of Agriculture, and Russell W. Davenport, editor of Fortune magazine. The American Forum of the Air, founded and moderated by Theodore Granick, has been presented, transcribed as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and has come to you from Washington, D.C. This is Kennedy Ludlam speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.